are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning, Reading. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show today, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460. You know it's community radio. And so if you have a call for us today, our call-in number is 605-4567. And I have my co-host with me today. We have Mark Beecham. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah. And so...
I should say mahalo.
Mahalo. I think that's probably appropriate. So in the studio today, we have Keith Kakauchi from 808 Bistro. He's a chef, and you may or may not know Keith, but by the end of today, you're going to know Keith. He also is one of the instructors out at the culinary arts program out at Shasta College, and all around good guy. And so I want to welcome you to the show, Keith. So welcome.
Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah. And so, a lot of people may or may not know your restaurant. I know we do. Mark does the restaurant reviews, and he's written about you a couple times. In fact, pretty soon he'll be writing about you again. And we just love coming over to Riverside Drive. They're in the Caltrans building right there. I don't know. How do you describe to people where that's located?
I usually say it's on Center Street and Riverside Drive.
Okay.
Across street is Center.
Okay. And so right there up against the edge of the Caldwell Park, or really, right? Sort of looking over the river?
Yes, the Sacramento River.
Sacramento River. And so, and you've been there how many years?
6 years.
Okay, you've been there 6 years. And so, and the public, it might look a little scary, right? I mean, you see this big sort of professional looking Caltrans building, but then you see this really fun sign. Tell us about your sign.
My sign's about a 17 foot sign. And it's a surfboard sign.
Yeah. Okay. And then it says 808 Bistro. And so you walk into the building and you kind of just sign in, right? You
tell with the security guard.
With the security guard. And then tucked away. I mean, you work for it, but it's worth it. And then we've always had an easy time parking right on the street, you know, kind of no big deal. And so tell me, you are from Hawaii and you have brought in some Hawaiian recipes, and so what do you serve at your restaurant that's from Hawaii?
Ahi poke, seared ahi tuna, kalua pork.
We had that.
Lomi lomi salmon. I do a twist on the lomi. I do smoked lomi lomi salmon though. And then, coconut haupia.
Oh, wow.
Which is like a flan and a pudding kind of together.
I've not heard of that. How did we miss that, Mark?
Tell us a little bit about Hawaiian food. I mean, Hawaii, as I lived there for 5 years, it's not one thing. It's many things, Hawaiian food. It reflects all the cultures in Hawaii. It's all sort of all mixed up, as they say, right?
Right. There's a melting pot there. There's a little bit of Chinese, Korean, Thai, Portuguese. So there's a wide variety of foods there. So it's all mixed, like a melting pot.
And would you say that Hawaiian food is healthy or maybe not so much?
For most of it, it's healthy because most of it's steamed or buried underground like a imu, like a pit. So pretty much healthy.
And probably fresh, right?
Fresh, very fresh. Yeah. They use a lot of people have their own pigs and, you know, the fish is the ocean. So kind of not like California where you have to get a license to fish for your fish.
Okay, so you can just fish?
Yeah, you don't need a license unless you're a commercial fisherman.
Wow.
And when I was there, I worked in an office building downtown, and we'd go out for lunch, and we had something called plate lunch. If you could tell the listeners a little bit about what a plate lunch is and the history or the influences that created it.
Plate lunch is a variety of proteins, but the main part of the dish is rice, white rice, and macaroni salad rice. Then
it's not really a plate lunch.
No.
Okay, because Mark was saying that this is like a famous thing. People have Hawaiian plate lunch, but it's just called plate lunch because you're lunch. In Hawaii.
Exactly.
Okay. And so, what would the protein be? Like, there's no green salad. I mean, it is rice and it's macaroni salad and then there's some type of proteiny thing, but you said that changes around a little bit.
It varies. Usually it's like maybe a piece of fried chicken, sometimes a piece of spam, teriyaki chicken, teriyaki beef. So it varies. It could be spam is pretty much, you know, it'll never go bad. So, you know, everybody can store it. You know, it doesn't have to be refrigerated. So it's one of those things that, and it's in everything.
It's in everything.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain.
Now chat to spring water. Naturally the best.
Hot cars.
And Cool April Nights is back at the Redding Civic Auditorium for the 24th annual Cool April Nights Car Show, April 13th through the 21st.
It's a week jam-packed with over 2,000 classic cars on display, the Friday Night Cruise, and community show and shines all week long.
There's non-stop entertainment featuring Paperback Writer, a tribute band to the Beatles, Catch a Wave, a tribute band to the Beach Boys, and much, much more.
Discount advance tickets on sale now at participating Raley's and Napa stores, only $7.
Don't miss the 24th annual Cool April Nights as it comes back to the Redding Civic Auditorium April 13th through the 21st.
Sponsored by Wind River Casino, Michelob Ultra, Foothill Distributing, Pepsi, Cross Petroleum, Napa Auto Parts, Famous Dave's Barbecue, and Crown Motors.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
The Spam song.
Oh, is that the Spam song?
That's the Spam song.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I love it. Hey, this is Positively Healthy, and Bob, our producer, is funny. And so we're talking about Spam. We're coming back. We have Keith Kakauchi from 808 Bistro, and he's a chef. He's here today, and we're talking about Hawaiian food and what is popular in Hawaii. And we got hooked on Spam here a little bit. So we just heard the Spam song. And so, Keith, tell us what all Hawaiians are doing with Spam.
They're putting in stir fry, spam musubi.
What's spam musubi? We need it.
Spam musubi is, fried spam, rice, and nori, which is a seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just wrapped in it like a sushi basically. And that's what they snack on or eat all day.
Yeah. So. Sounds pretty good.
So what else? We've got spam musubi, spam stir fry, spam and eggs.
And eggs. They put it in. They've been putting it in like pasta, spaghetti.
Okay.
Salad, right?
Salad.
Okay.
Excellent.
Pretty much everything.
I wanted to kind of get back more into authentic, kind of more gourmet, not gourmet, but just more probably authentic Hawaiian food, because I know you have a lot of experience with sort of burying a pig. You know, can you explain that process to us?
It's called an imu. And they usually dig the ground up, and then the process is, they usually use koa wood, which is a better wood to burn because mm-hmm. it burns hot. But, for here, we use manzanita wood. You put a little bit of rocks in the stomach so it cooks within and on the outside.
Wow.
And then we usually layer down banana leaves and tea leaves, and then
Does that add some kind of smoking flavor?
The tea leaves actually holds in heat and actually steams it too, and it does give flavor.
So the pig is buried in rocks, and then do you put dirt on top of that?
Yes, you cover it with dirt after you put burlap bags, wet burlap bags down.
Okay, so it's the pig is protected from the dirt with the wet burlap bags. And the emu, that's not to be confused with the bird, the emu. That's the name of the pit?
The pit.
Okay, the emu pit.
And how long does it cook?
We usually start, it just depends on the size of the pig, but For a 100-pound pig, it'll take pretty much all day. So we'll dig the hole in the morning, you know, a couple of days before, and then set it up and then get the rocks hot and then put the pig in. And it takes about a whole day to cook.
And this is a traditional Hawaiian meal, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, but you've done this in Hawaii, and you've also done it here. You mentioned during the break that you did it in Weed a few years back.
Yeah, for a wedding.
So, but normally when you do kalua pork, like we had the other day, how do you prepare it?
For me, for a small restaurant and stuff, what I do is I marinate it in Hawaiian salt a day before, and then I wrap it in banana leaves and take it to a smoker. And it smokes for 12 hours, and then after it smokes for 12 hours, the next day I usually, you know, let it rest a little bit, and then I put it in the oven at 275 degrees and cook it for another 10 hours.
Okay. So when it comes out, it's sort of stringy.
Yeah, it falls apart.
Falls apart.
Moist.
Kind of moist pork. Yeah. It's very good.
And then what would that be served with traditionally?
Traditionally, poi. And poi is made out of taro root. And it's like a purple type of pudding without the sweets, of course. And then it's usually served then with lomi lomi salmon.
Which is?
And lomi lomi salmon is like a ceviche. It's salmon, green onions, Maui onions, Hawaiian salt, tomatoes.
Well, I remember just loving that when you made that. So that was, is that something that you had often over there, Mark?
Oh, I loved lomi lomi salmon. And I also loved ahi poke. That's really good too. How do you make ahi poke?
Ahi poke, grade A ahi tuna, green onions, Maui onions, sesame seed oil, soy sauce, and then I spice it up a little bit with they call it the Hawaiian peppers or poppers.
And basically it's not cooked. It's a ceviche, right?
Yeah. That one's not really a ceviche because the ceviche style one, like the lomi lomi salmon, is cooked with lemon juice. Okay. So acidity. But the poke is actually totally raw.
Totally raw,
okay.
It's really, really tasty. I remember, you know, it was something you'd have at receptions or something around town, you know, at office kind of events.
And then you also make a dessert that you made for us last year, the coconut, like a...
Coconut alpia.
Yeah, so explain that. That sounds like that was quite
That's worth a drive over to his restaurant alone.
But it sounds complicated to make. So.
Very. It's a big process.
What's it called again?
It's coconut alpia.
Okay, I don't know what that last word is.
Alpia.
Alpia?
It's Hawaiian.
Okay. For turnover or
no, for the coconut, it's how it's prepared.
Okay.
So it's basically I bring in two types of coconut. A younger coconut, which is a spoonable meat, and then an older coconut, which I have to shave it into the coconut. So
my gosh.
So I have to crack basically I have to crack nine young coconuts and then spoon all the meat out and the juice.
Oh, good.
And the older coconuts, I use about four of them, and I crack them open because they're a little harder shell. And then I have to pry the meat out of the coconut and then shave it into the pot. And then I have to cook it down and blend some of it with the... I put like a cup of sugar for each one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cook it down and then thicken it up with cornstarch.
Wow, what an event. And then it goes into a crust or?
Basically, the traditional way, they just put it in a pan and put it in a refrigerator.
Okay.
So it's like a flan.
Like a flan.
Like a coconut flan. Yeah.
Okay.
But people here don't like the texture, so I actually put it into a crust, a turnover crust, and then it's like a coconut turnover basically, so.
Okay.
We got to take a break here, but when we come back, maybe we can find out other kinds of ethnic food that Keith serves up at 808 Bistro.
And then we'll also talk about what he's teaching out at Shasta College. So but you're listening to Positively Healthy, and we'll be right back.
Down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
The Weston A. Price Foundation was created to put forth the research of Dr. Price, whose meticulous study of healthy cultures around the world has given us a foundation for traditional foods that promote vibrant health. The foundation is dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods to the human diet through education, research, and activism. The Weston A. Price Foundation supports organic and biodynamic farming, pasture feeding of livestock, community-supported farms, honest and informative labeling, and prepared parenting and nurturing therapies. You can join a local Weston A. Price chapter to attend monthly meetings and learn about these healing foods and practices. Creating community around healing foods is what Weston Price is all about. Check out their website, www.westonaprice.org. It's a virtual encyclopedia of information. Join the foundation and receive their stunning quarterly journal, Wise Traditions.
Howdy, neighbor. What you got there?
Oh, just my oil from my Chevy and some weed killer from my shed. I figured the best way to get rid of it was to pour them down the storm drain.
But, Tom, the water we use has been recycled by nature ever since the earth was formed and...
Come on, William. Give it to me in English.
Well, Tom, the improper disposal of household chemicals and engine oil can be harmful to our water. We're trying to protect the quality of our water, not harm it.
It's true. Poor landscape practices and improper disposal of household chemicals and motor oil can severely contaminate our waterways. To reduce pollution, use pesticides in the proper amounts, and always dispose of household waste properly. For more information on the disposal of certain household items, visit the City of Reading Solid Waste website at readingsolidwaste.net. Remember, improper disposal of household chemicals and motor oil can severely contaminate our waterways. Visit the City of Reading Solid Waste website at readingsolidwaste.net.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she called the doctor, woke him up and said, doctor,
all right, welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're talking Hawaiian food today, coconuts, lime. And now we're back with Keith Kakiuchi, 808 Bistro, right here in Reading. And boy, he's been there 6 years, and it's the place to get interesting food if you want to branch out. But he also has some of the classics. And so, Keith, what all do you serve over there?
I do actually international cuisine. So
yeah,
do a little bit of Korean food, like a Korean style barbecue rib.
Yum.
Thai food, Greek. So like gyros and hummus and, pita bread.
But not all this is available every day. You sort of rotate things around, right?
Those are usually my specials.
Okay. And you are in the basement of the Caltrans building, and your main customers, I assume, are the Caltrans employees there, right?
Or some of them are. Most of them are, because there's quite a few people there. But I actually have a lot of doctor's offices that come in, too, especially Dr. Ver, who comes in a lot.
Okay. So. Now, I don't want to be unkind, but I don't want people to think that this restaurant has a great view of the Sacramento River or anything. It is, to be clear, in the basement, and it is has kind of a cafeteria feel about
yes.
it, right? No windows.
You
have decorated it with some, you know, Hawaiian-style art and stuff like that, but it's basically a basement. You know, cafeteria for the building. And the building actually is interesting because I'm not an architectural historian, but I think it probably goes back to the 50s or maybe even earlier than that.
I believe it does go way back to 1920s.
Is that right?
Even further.
Okay, so it's a historic building in Reading, a commercial building in Reading, and worth a visit even if you weren't there. But you can get a chance to go into the building, go downstairs. So
yes, you do have to go through a guard, though.
Right, you got to sign in. It's probably the only restaurant in Northern California where you have to sign in.
It's worth it. You just sign in and go in. It's so easy. Yes. Go down some stairs. Or is there an elevator, too?
There's an elevator.
See, you can get there anyway. If you just want to have fun on an elevator, what restaurant has an elevator?
That's true. In Reading, right.
I know.
Do we even have elevators in Reading? I guess we must. Yeah, it's the courthouse or whatever. The jail.
See, it's fun. Yeah. So I want to talk to you about what you're doing out at Shasta College. And you're teaching.
Yeah, I'm teaching a gourmet class. basically. It's soups, cold soups, sauces, terrines, galantines, pâtés.
You're using a lot of fancy French words here. You got to break it down for us.
Pâtés, soup. Soups, cold soups, like, you know, cucumber soup, tomato soup, sauces, a lot of sauces or a lot of dressings.
Ooh.
And grand manger means what?
Grand manger is the design of presentation, fruit presentations, vegetable presentation.
Mm. So kind of like fancy little decorative radishes or something?
Radishes, carrots, melon flowers.
Wow. Oh, very nice. And is this your first time teaching?
This is my first year.
Well, what do you think?
It was hard at first, but it's gotten better.
Is it under your skin now? Do you love it?
Yeah, I actually do. Actually, I'm going to take in August, I'm teaching a gourmet class, so.
And what will that entail?
Foie gras, escargot, cow's tongue.
Mmm.
A little bit. Different stuff.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Oh, my gosh.
Now where are you going to get those?
Those are specialty ordered.
Tehama County.
Where do you get the pig for the emu?
Whole pigs come. I usually order it through R&R Meats or Cash and Carry actually sells some, too. I think the biggest I can get there is about 85 pounds.
Okay.
But. If you want a little bit bigger, they will come through R&R Meats.
And looking at the menu at 808 Bistro, what are the most popular items?
My popular items? My teriyaki chicken is the most popular item.
That's available every day, right?
Every day.
Okay.
Chicken ginger lime. Loco moco. A lot of people come in for loco moco.
Tell us what loco moco is.
Loco moco is rice, white rice, hamburger patty. Gravy, beef gravy, and then an egg any style on top.
Now that sounds healthy, doesn't it?
Is that why you carried 20 extra pounds there?
Oh, Mark? Yeah. I have a confession to make. Yeah. When I lived in Hawaii, I was there 5 years. I gained a fair bit of weight. I probably weigh 30 pounds less today than I did when I lived out there. And the reason is, as Keith will attest, you know, in an office, or even going to visit friends, food is like a big, big social lubricant. And so I would go around my company from one department to another, talking to people or picking things up, dropping things off. And everywhere I went, every department would have food and they would say, oh, would you like to try this cake or would you like to try this? Whatever. And you couldn't say no. It would be considered like really rude. So.
And it was delicious.
And it was delicious. And one thing led to another. And pretty soon I was pushing 200 pounds, which is a lot for me.
Yeah, good. See, that's a testament to the delicious factor of the food. So, well, we're going to take a break. And, you know, Keith, I want to thank you for coming on today. It means a lot to us. We got to just kind of share with the listeners all of the fun things we've learned from you. And so we're going to go to break. And this is Community Radio at KCNR 1460. And we'll be right back.
Poultry products come from factory farms. from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
92 years of non-stop excitement. Oh, the Red Bluff Roundup is on. One of the biggest three-day rodeos in the country. All adds up to the best rodeo action on earth. April 19th, 20th, and 21st. A Friday night is Tri-County's Bank Family Night, where just $35 gets you four tickets. Saturday is Rabobank Day. The action is non-stop, where every performance will climax with a wild horse race. Then on Sunday, it's St. Elizabeth Hospital, Haleakala Ranch, tough enough to wear pink day. A full day of rodeo with the featured event, Red Bluff Roundup Wild Ride. Get your discount tickets now at the Roundup office, RedBluffRoundup.com, or Diamond W Westernware in Chico. April 19th, 20th, and 21st at the Tehama County Fairgrounds. And hey, don't you dare miss the concert after the rodeo on Saturday night. Where thanks to Diamond W Productions, it's Neil McCoy.
All she's gotta do is just give me that way.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460 530-605-4567.
Greg, Scott Joplin. Oh, well, welcome back. Hi, this is Positively Healthy. I'm Trudy Pratt, and we're just getting the party going here. Just Bob, our producer, is just, he's finding us all sorts of Hawaiian-themed everything. It's fun. And also our co-host, Mark Beecham. And so I want to mention, Keith has now moved away from the studio where he's gone, but we didn't really mention that his hours are Monday through Friday from 7 to 3. So don't think you're going there on a weekend. And so.
Or for dinner.
So this is a breakfast lunch place.
And, it's kind of an odd location. It's on Riverside Drive, which overlooks the Sacramento River just, I guess, north or maybe west of the Market Street Bridge. And it's this commercial building, and he's got this big surfboard sign outside, and you just go in the front door. The guard will ask you to sign your name, and then you'll follow some signs down a staircase into the basement and a couple of lefts and rights, and there you see Keith and his kitchen and his restaurant. And it's definitely worth a visit. There's nothing quite like it in Reading.
Definitely. So we're going to switch gears here a little bit. And before we go, we're gonna add, before we stop the whole Hawaii thing. So, Mark, one more thing about Hawaii. So you had the plate lunch that people talk about. I mean, it's kind of famous, what, all the time or what?
Well, I had it too much of the time. I mean, I ate out for lunch most every day with my coworkers, and we would go to, you know, a place. There were lots and lots of places to eat downtown, and typically they were plate lunch joints, and you would order, you know, plate lunch with fish or plate lunch with, you know, teriyaki chicken or tonkatsu, which is like a breaded pork, Japanese style breaded pork. And it would come, it was a lot of calories and a lot of carbs, is what it was. And I suppose if you were working outdoors or fishing or surfing, it would be an appropriate amount of calories and carbs. But if you have a desk job like I had, it kind of adds up, you know. And the other thing about Hawaiian food, there's a lot of fried foods, and it can be kind of salty. So, you know, you need to think about that.
Cool. No, it sounds wonderful.
But what I enjoyed about Hawaii was just the incredible mix of cuisines that that were available. I mean, you could go to a great sushi restaurant. You could go to a great Chinese restaurant, a great Korean restaurant, Korean barbecue, Filipino food, Chinese, dim sum in the, you know, for Sunday brunch. There were just a lot of options available, and food was very fresh, and the cuisine was very, in some cases, very creative.
Good. Okay.
Pacific fusion type food.
Nice. Well, as we leave Hawaii here, when we come back to the mainland, we were going to have the rest of our show, we were going to have a conversation then about...
Yeah, I was going to ask you this. You are the chapter leader, local chapter, Shasta County chapter, of a group called the Weston A. Price Foundation.
Right, and we have our commercials that run throughout KCNR, and a lot of people always want to know about the Weston Price Foundation, and I always... You know, I've had this radio show for so long now, and I don't really stop and talk about the Weston Price Foundation. And one of the reasons I don't is that I always think I'll have that show if a guest doesn't show up. You know, and guests always show up. And so today we kind of specifically decided we would at least spend a good 20 minutes talking a little bit about the Weston Price Foundation, since we never get there. And always I thought we would be there within, you know, first month of the show.
So very briefly, who was Weston Price, and what led to the creation of this foundation?
Okay, so in our town, we meet every other month, and we have this growing group of people who meet at the Pilgrim Congregational Church, and it's a nutrition foundation. And so it's an international organization, and it's really promoting eating real food, going back to food that doesn't have a lot of coloring or chemicals. And it also is the processing of food so that it, I should say the preparing of food so that it you get maximum nutrient absorption. And so not only is it sort of real, pure, old-fashioned food, but it sometimes, you know, some of the items would be processed or prepared in a way. So let's say you were going to have oatmeal. You would not really have the packet of oatmeal that's ready to just add water. You would actually have old-fashioned either steel-cut oats, or you would have kind of what would be called old-fashioned oats, and they're soaked overnight. And they're soaked so that all of the nutrients are more available. And so this whole idea of nutrient availability is something that our distant relatives thought about, and we don't really think about that at all. Right now we eat for flavor, and that's very different than how we used to.
Or convenience.
Yeah,
I would say convenience even more so.
It's like, what do you crave tonight? Mexican? Chinese? You know, we kind of go through the options versus, we haven't really had any vegetables lately. Or, you know, we're not really thinking about a balanced diet in our cravings. We're kind of thinking taste buds, you know.
And one other thing that strikes me about the Weston Price Foundation and the cookbook that I have a copy of, that the head of the organization, Sally Fallon, produced, is that it embraces or even recommends people eat or use ingredients that have been demonized and made politically incorrect by, as she would describe it, the diet dictocrats over the last 30 or 40 years. Among the items would be butter.
Right.
And whole milk.
Right.
And other, and red meat. She believes that, you know, people can eat red meat, butter, and whole milk with, you know, salutary benefits.
Right. And Dr. Price was a dentist in the 30s and 40s, and so he has a nutrition foundation named after him. He's no longer with us, clearly, but he has a nutrition foundation named after him because he was one of the first people to really notice that in his practice, in his dental practice, people who were healthy had fewer cavities, and people who had cavities or crooked teeth were usually people who were not quite as healthy. And he was sort of the first person to start putting together, wow, straight teeth and fewer cavities were noticeable in people who had robust health. And so he also then, his first observation that that was true in his personal practice, and then kind of at that time, you know, people were starting to travel more in the world, and he went and he traveled and he looked in the mouths of people, and he did all sorts of research of indigenous tribes of people around the world, and he learned that, my goodness, you know, people who were eating these very, very healthy and diversified diets were basically cavity-free and had straight white teeth as white as piano keys, you know.
Traditional diets.
Very traditional diets. Yeah, they ate their native foods. And so we would say, like, how interesting is that really? You know, is it really that interesting? Basically, we kind of all know that the more you process something, the more the vitamins and minerals leave, right? And we know that sugar kind of makes your body need all, you know, you just start chomping through your vitamins to balance out kind of the negative impact of the sugar. And so it's not that strange, but we still kind of make a big deal out of it because he really understood the need for a balanced diet for people, you know, need fat and they need protein and they need carbohydrates. And so, that wasn't that strange. And it just seems like it's something that is now lost. You know, people are no longer really eating for nutrition and for balanced, for balance. Bob, are you giving me the hay? Okay. So as we look at when we evaluate Dr. Price's work, he worked very hard looking at the diets of people. And so, you know, and he did extensive research, you know, groups that just ate plants maybe weren't quite as healthy as those that ate plants and meat. And so, and there were those who ate plants, meat, and fat, and maybe they were a little healthier, you know, and he's looking at their teeth and he's looking at their gums. And so his goal was to really clarify that people need real food. And we were, you know, this was at a time when we were starting to have sweetened condensed milk. We were just really processing food. Bisquick was on the shelf. You know, we were starting to look for shortcuts to do everything. Margarine had hit the shelves and it was in everyone's refrigerator or on their counter. And so we were making a move to fake food. And the food that they ate in the 30s and 40s, comparably to, you know, to today, we would be just shocked. You know, we would think that it's health food, but, you know, we've just gone completely off the cliff. So now we have, you know, diet soda. I mean, Dr. Price had never heard of such a thing. And so when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about it. It's an interesting foundation. And this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy.
You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
The Weston A. Price Foundation was created to put forth the research of Dr. Price, whose meticulous study of healthy cultures around the world has given us a foundation for traditional foods that promote vibrant health. The foundation is dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods to the human diet through education, research, and activism. The Weston A. Price Foundation supports organic and biodynamic farming, pasture feeding of livestock, community-supported farms, honest and informative labeling, and prepared parenting and nurturing therapies. You can join a local Weston A. Price chapter to attend monthly meetings and learn about these healing foods and practices. Creating community around healing foods is what Weston Price is all about. Check out their website, www.westonaprice.org. It's a virtual encyclopedia of information. Join the foundation and receive their stunning quarterly journal, Wise Traditions.
Every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. Discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Never I I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself, because I love you. Yes, I do. And when you give me that pretty little pout, it turns me inside out. There's something about you, baby, I don't know.
Oh, welcome back. A little Sonny James Taylor for you. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. And Just Bob here is full of surprises. We love that. And we have Mark Beecham in the studio. Welcome back, Mark.
Welcome back. Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah, and we're talking about the Weston Price Foundation. We heard their commercial go by. And our local group, you know, when we started the foundation, when we started the local chapter probably 10 years ago, maybe 15, it's been a long time now, we were supposed to be finding local sources of food. We need pastured chicken. We need pastured eggs. You know, we need kind of this whole free range thing, but real free range, not fake free range. And we need grass fed beef. And we really, our organization, we were going to like South Dakota for beef. You know, we were doing, it just wasn't local. And so part of the Weston Price Foundation is to really create local agriculture and get the foods you need right here in your own backyard. And so we had to kind of start searching for people and finding people who were interested or already had started and get behind them. And so that's where we found Dan Martin at Lazy 69 Ranch. And we found Mark Duvenvoorden, who has raw milk, and we started, you know, eventually that became Henry Giacomini at Hat Creek Grown. And so we started working with kind of, that's sort of the big three things that you need to be a local Weston Price group. And so, we started helping people get organized, but just be so that people could find their food. So we had to try to get their food in stores, and then we did a lot of different, you know, dropping off to someone's house type things. And then eventually, it's so easy to find grass-fed beef pretty much anywhere now, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we're lucky to have, obviously, Prather Ranch in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tremendous brand.
Yeah. And so we found the food, and then we started trying to really support anyone who had a local vegetable delivery business. And so, then from there we started really getting behind anyone who was speaking about teaching people how to garden or backyard chickens. And so, you know, our next speaker is Ron Epperson, and, you know, he's been the father of the farmer's market for 30-something years, and so he is going to teach us about biodynamic farming and anthroposophical, you know, gardening through Rudolf Steiner at our next meeting in May. And so, and he's going to teach us also about dehydrating and freezing. So I'm like, freezing? Is that a topic? You know, I thought you just put stuff in the freezer. That's what I do. And so we'll get to learn more about what goes into a little bit of food preservation. And so at our local chapter, we do a lot of different things. We teach people how to lacto-ferment vegetables, lots of different speakers. And then our last meeting, we watched a video of Sally Fallon, who is the international director out of Washington, D.C., and we learned a little bit about kind of maybe the politics behind how eggs and butter and cheese and meat got sort of pushed away, and more of the oil refining industry and the lobbying of that group came to the forefront. And we now think that, you know, having corn oil or soybean oil poured all over your food makes more sense than butter, which we're working hard to reverse that, because since the evolution of man, we've eaten meat and butter and eggs. So what were you going to say, Mark?
Sally Fallon, I think in that video, she said it was a joke, but there was a seriousness to it. She said that she thought that one of the biggest contributors to heart disease was lettuce. And she sort of let that lie, and then she came back to it about 10 minutes later or 15 minutes later, and it turns out that it's not the lettuce per se. It's the funky, phony dressings that are made with these industrially derived oils, salad oils, that are the problem. And it was interesting to hear her talk, too, about the development of margarine, which I knew nothing about, you know, the emergence of margarine and how margarine was supported by the government or, powerful agricultural industrial interests. And studies were commissioned by these interests, and doctors were lined up to extol the virtues of this industrial product, margarine, which has to be dyed a certain color and packaged and everything else to make it look like butter. It was interesting because at one point somebody in the audience said, huh, this is just like Monsanto, talking about how lobbyists who work for the government and corporations do time at government agencies and then go off and work in the industry and then come back to government agencies, and studies tend to support the various interest groups that do the most lobbying, even reputable so-called, medical type studies tend to support the party line and the studies that supportive or sort of marginalized or buried in footnotes. So there's a lot of research, there's a lot of materials about Weston Price Foundation on the internet and on YouTube videos.
Right. And so you can go to westonprice.org and sign up, and you can just go there and read all sorts of information. And they like to help farmers. They have a lot of legal support and ideas for farmers who are trying to start. And they're also very into the idea of prepared parenting. So let's say you're going to think maybe next year you're going to have kids. Well, they like the idea that maybe you'd spend the next year actually getting healthy, so that when you do get pregnant, you're going to pop out a pretty healthy child, which I'm not sure if anyone else thinks that way. That's pretty, pretty magnificent thought.
Sally Fallon has a new cookbook, I think, that's focused on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Raising Children.
Raising Children.
Yeah.
Talk about her book, the seminal cookbook that she published called Nourishing Traditions.
She has a book that's called Nourishing Traditions, which I don't know how many pages it is, probably 350. And she's really teaching you the process of creating food. So she's teaching you how to kind of make your foods more alive, in the sense that if you're having beans, you're going to soak your beans overnight, you're going to sprout your food. If you're going to have pancakes, then you're going to kind of prepare them in a way that they are all healthy and available. So all of the what we call phytic acid, or the anti-nutrients in the food, every plant has its own sort of almost pesticide system, to prevent predators to not eat the plant. And so the goal is to sort of get that system down by soaking the grains so that the foods are more available. And then she's also teaching you how to lacto-ferment foods. And then she has because she's also a chef, I mean, a lot of nutrition books are just kind of, oh gosh, okay, maybe it was great information, but the recipes in the book are painful. And being a chef, the woman has absolutely outstanding recipes. So whether you're making a type of a dessert, or if you're making some type of main dish or whatever it is, they're fantastic. And so it's called Nourishing Traditions, and it's available on Amazon.
What's the price?
And I don't really know. I think 20-ish, $20, $25.
I've got a copy of this cookbook, and it would be the only cookbook I would ever need, I think. And not only has it got incredible range of recipes, but in the sort of margin of every page, she's got a little article about something. Or a quiz, or something that really teaches you about food and nutrition beyond just the recipe. So it's a unique piece of work.
Yeah. And so when we're talking about the cookbook, there's a whole, how to feed your child. And so that part became so popular that worked itself into a new book. And then the website goes from there into more recipes and more ideas for health, because, each year we get a little bit less healthy. And so a lot of information at their annual conferences that move around the country, and I'm sure they'll be going international. I know one was in London. And so are starting to be a little bit more, there's the food preparation part and the work of Dr. Price, but then a lot of how to fix some of the health problems that people have. And so they've had to kind of move into sort of more of a forward thinking, alternative medicine approach.
What kind of people would you say would be interested in the Weston Price Foundation? What kind of people come to your bi-monthly meetings?
Well, you know, a combination. I would say people that have kids or just had kids or they're thinking about having kids. So there are a lot of people who are interested in building healthy families. And then there are people who maybe were raised on a dairy or a lot of seniors, I would say, who remember the old days when people were just sturdier. And this is the group that they've probably been eating healthy their whole life. They've probably been eating Weston Price type foods their whole life. And this is the food of their family. And so of their ancestors. And so they're pretty durable people and they're going to live a long, healthy life. And so, and then in the middle somewhere, there are people who are getting over health challenges and who maybe bought into something because it's so hard to not fall prey to some thought, you know, oh, low fat or oh, something, you know, it's, so once, when we get a little out of balance, things start to go wrong. And so, if we're someone healing from, a health assault somehow.
Now the meetings are held every other month at the Pilgrim Congregational
right.
Church.
Right, now
that's
we're
the Frank Lloyd Wright Church.
Right,
in
West Reading, yeah.
On Foothill Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a charge to come?
$2, yeah.
$2 donation.
And it's a potluck. And so, you know, some of the best food in the world shows up at the Weston Price potluck. And so $2 is to cover the price of the church and you bring something.
And what time again?
And it's always from 6:30 to 8:30.
On the
Tuesday. And it's on a Tuesday night. So it's always the third Tuesday of the month. And so people can always call my office and find out more exact information.
And what is that number?
And that's 244-7873. And then our September meeting will be our first kind of away meeting. We're going to be up at at Hat Creek Grown, the Giacomini Ranch. And so we're going to go have a nice, shindig. So thanks for listening today. And, we'll be back again at Positively Healthy. Don't go away. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Trudy Pratt and Mark. And stay tuned. Nancy Sutton Pierce next with Conscious Living here at KCNR Shasta Reading.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. This is not exactly how they wanted to spend a Saturday morning in the spring, getting up early in Oklahoma to find out if they were infected by the work of dentist Scott Harrington, who was accused of using unsanitary equipment and unlicensed assistants on thousands of his patients.
At a health department clinic in Tulsa, more than 75 people were in line this morning, waiting to undergo free tests.
God forbid if something happens, you know, then I could be, it jeopardizes my entire rest of my life.
You can't trust a doctor and a dentist and the people that are supposed to do right by you. Can you trust?
In addition to the 7,000 former patients who have been notified about the possible risks that they face, health department officials warn that there could be more. Although the doctor has been practicing for more than three decades, his patient records, well, they only go back to the year 2007.
Fox's David Lee Miller. The area will be off limits this weekend, but a makeshift path for pedestrians and all-terrain vehicles is